B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably gonna talk about it.
Come on, man. You know I only surf Transformer sites when there's girls around so they can see how cool I am.
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome to another week, Nerd Radio, wherever you...
Oh, no! That was a total... Kerfuffle.
Sure it was.
It was a Nerd Radio kerfuffle right out the top.
Al's already getting on my bad side. Welcome to another week in Nerd Radio.
I swore at you in German earlier.
Wherever you're getting your podcast, it's part of the B-Pod Studios Network and all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck Bean. I am joined, as always, by the man who puts the scream in ice cream, James.
Oh, hello. Oh,
how you doing? Go.
Making the ice cream scream. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. And the man who puts the fun in funeral. Mr. Albeck.
Did he get a book of these? He's got a book of these.
I did not, no.
How far ahead did you work on these?
I may have thought of them while I was laying in bed last night.
Oh, he's thinking about us in bed.
He's having some fun, screaming in bed.
Yep.
And then thinking about going to his funeral.
I can't wait to find out what I put the black in.
I ain't going there. I'm not going there whatsoever. That's whatsoever. We are joined this week by Mr. Steve Black, also one of our compatriots over at 101 WRIF, and a huge Star Trek nerd.
Yeah, I'm in.
And that's one of the reasons why we had... It's funny because I usually have to set up when people are coming in and when, you know, what we're going to be talking about and stuff like that. Steve actually informed me when I saw him over the weekend that he was coming in.
Perfect.
Al is getting
a
little...
Take the bull by the horns.
Yeah.
Got to let him know.
He's getting a little big for his britches over there.
Yeah. I think I started with, did Al tell you yet?
You did.
Yes, you did. And I'm like, no,
so
but that's
like
great.
I was demanding or anything.
No.
Right. No, I always tell everyone in the building, I was like, it's open door policy at Nerd Radio, which is why, you know, it's bit us in the ass a couple times. That's why the checkpoint guys keep walking
sure
in
has,
here.
It sure has, yeah.
But I always tell people, I was like, you want to come in and talk about some nerd stuff? This is where to do it.
Yes. Well, there was a time, full disclosure, there was a time we were very desperate for content.
There was.
And now we just won't shut the hell up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was a time we're like, please, my God, like... You like Legos. Let's talk about it.
Ain't nothing wrong with liking Legos.
The Lego talk is probably pretty good if the person I'm thinking was involved.
No, and he'll be back. Let me tell you.
He better be back.
We've discussed it. He'll be back to show us some of his Lego stuff on Twitch. So that's going to be great. So,
good. Yeah, no, this is one of those times, too, where like I did set up the guest with Steve because we're both the big Trekkies.
Yes.
And so like Picard obviously was big news. The premiere of the show. So I was like, well, Steve, you got to come in and talk about it. If nothing else, the premiere and the finale, we got to bookend it. And then, like, I didn't even think about the fact that, oh, there might be something else going on. Like, we're supposed to have Erica in to talk Royal Rumble later.
Right.
So I'm just like, I'm booking guests with no idea what the hell's going on. Like, I don't even research topics. Like, I know what else is going on here.
You're like, look, we're going to talk about this thing, and I'm bringing backup.
Yes, exactly. Well, because I don't pay attention to anything, and I'm dumb and forget stuff. So I need Steve, who's smart and remembers things, to cover my ass. This is my show prep. I brought somebody else to do my job.
To do your homework for you. Fantastic.
Anyone else want to do their jobs today?
That's exactly what's going on.
It's the most perfect drop I've ever played on this entire thing.
You're right. Better at it, Al.
Yeah, well, let's...
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here.
Let's get right...
All right, I'm done.
I can wait.
Well, go ahead.
Let's get right into it. Star Trek Picard, the first episode on CBS All Access, came out last Thursday. And the funny thing is, knowing that the show was coming out on Thursday, I logged into CBS Access middle of the day. I think I told you about this. I logged in and saw that somebody was halfway through the episode.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to just watch the whole thing and screw up wherever they were, figuring it was the one who was paying for CBS All Access.
Sure, yeah.
So I was like, I'll log in later. I saw you the next day, and you're like, no, I didn't watch it. Yeah, I didn't watch it until later on in the night. So... We started to play this game of like who was watching at 3 p.m. on Thursday.
Yeah, that one might have been me actually, but there were a couple options. Yeah,
right, for sure. But
now when I logged in, Steve had already watched it.
Yeah,
and I looked and I was like, oh my God, Picard! And I was like, the playline, what the hell? I was like, oh right. Yeah, but it was very confusing for a moment that you know, 'cause Steve beat me to it.
So you guys are the big Trekkies. What do you think of the first episode of the new show?
First of all, how spoiler heavy are we going? Because I'm the only thing. Sometimes we go spoiler heavy on movies and stuff, but CBS All Access, I feel like there's a lot of Trekkies that are maybe still on the fence. So I don't want to like blow too much storyline.
So why don't we?
So there's no need for me to be here.
I don't know because I was.
I don't need to remember anything if we're not going to talk about it.
Well, good, fair point. So right.
Spoiler alert.
So yeah, spoiler alert.
We'll just put it out there that we will be talking about the content.
Yes, we should at least. We should at least address it up front.
Yeah.
So people do know.
So if you haven't watched, you haven't gotten the opportunity to watch it yet, you may want to just like I don't know, fast forward about 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, we don't want anybody to find out that Picard's actually going to be a dad.
Right.
And the mother is an alien.
Well, you never know.
That's more if that was Captain Kirk, I
was just going to say, yes, if it was Kirk.
That was not a real spoiler.
Yeah.
At least I hope, or don't think so.
No, like the Hugh Jackman spoiler last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Three episodes in, I'm texting James, F you! An accidental spoiler. Right. No, I was happy with it.
Oh, yeah, I'm very happy with it.
Very happy, very excited for what comes next. But it was really cool because you've seen it as well, Chuck.
I have.
You did get around to eventually watching. So opening up with seeing the Enterprise-D was very special because obviously, as we know in the Generations movie, that was the end of the D.
Yeah. You finally found the end, huh? It's when that long.
When they crashed the D.
Yeah, they crashed the D, yeah.
The V.
But yeah, right the warp core goes critical and blows up the star drive, and the saucer section crashes on a planet. So
a spoiler for an old ass movie.
For an old ass movie, I think the statute of limitations is up on that,
right?
And takes its time crashing into that planet.
It does.
That is a long film sequence.
And then, of course, they leave.
It's a big D.
It's a big D. That's a big ass D. And of course, they leave the Nexus. We get to see it crash twice.
Yes.
I just watched Generations last night, actually. So that one's fresh. But there was a detail in the opening about that Steve remembered. That I had forgotten, the music?
Right.
Oh, yeah. The sort of the opening song, if you will, is the song that Data sings in Nemesis.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And it really is only important because at the end, where they've tried to download Data into B4, who is one of the other androids, for those not totally following
Thank
along.
Thank you. I appreciate that clarification.
Yeah. Well, you're like, looking B4. At me like, what the hell's a B4?
Is that like a BB-8?
Yeah.
Well, is it like an R2-D2?
It is an artificial life form. So, yeah. In a
well,
way,
Nemesis spoiler, Data sacrifices himself to save Picard.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, statute of limitations, once again, is up.
So B4.
You don't even care about spoilers. Shut up.
B4 is a relative of Data, okay? And at first, it looks like there's no Data transfer from Data to B4. And then at the end of Nemesis, he's humming that same song that Data had been singing, which he would have no knowledge of. And then the opening of this entire Star Trek Picard, the music they use, the music bed, as
Bing Crosby doing that song.
Right. It's the same song.
Right.
Like, hey, all right. So right away, we are tying into extreme nerds.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's going to notice that unless you've seen a lot of Star Trek.
Right. Or maybe had just watched Nemesis the day before like Steve did.
Yes.
So does this episode kind of pick up where all the movies and stuff left off?
It's 20 years after.
Okay.
Yeah, 20 years later, so which is how long ago Nemesis came out.
That's cool that they used that song then to tie it all together.
Yes. Yeah.
That way you know, okay, here's what we picked up last time.
Right.
Years.
And then that opening sequence turns out to be a dream, but it's the only time that we get to see Picard in a Starfleet uniform, which is particularly cool. Because it opens and we're like, oh, yeah, he's in uniform. He's on the ship. This is awesome.
Yes. And another thing that was pointed out to me in another podcast is in that opening scene, it zooms in. You see the Enterprise-D, and it goes through the transparent aluminum into 10 forward, which is the popular bar on the Enterprise. And it's just Data and Picard. The rest of the room is empty, which is already sort of a...
It's the popular bar on the Enterprise?
It is. It is.
Is there like a non-popular bar?
I'm sure there's a
seedy
one.
There's got to be.
Where's the dive bar of the Enterprise?
Right. Yeah, right. They never show you any of the other bars, but there has to be more.
That's coming up in the new series that they're doing. What is the cartoon series?
Lower Decks.
Oh, really? It's something serious that's coming?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah,
there's a comedy coming out based on Star Trek, and it's about the people you never see on the show. It's called Lower Decks.
I love it. That's got my attention more so than Picard. Yeah,
right. Guarantee you they're going to a CD bar somewhere on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. But already you kind of have a tip off that it's a dream because the rest of 10 Forward is deserted aside from Picard and Data. But also what was pointed out to me, Data is wearing the later DS9 slash the later TNG movies uniform with the gray shoulders.
Yep.
Yeah, so he's wearing a uniform that they never wore on the Enterprise-D. So it's definitely not a flashback or anything like that. It's a little out of sorts.
That's cool. I didn't pick up that detail.
Yeah. Neither had I. I was informed.
No. I was just watching it going like, this is kind of like, there wasn't anything in the new Star Wars movie that really moved me, but like watching Picard buy time because he doesn't want the game to be over was just, that's kind of like, aw, that's sweet.
Yeah. Well, and Patrick Stewart can still act the crap out of just about anything. But it's crazy. And I think, you know, James would have already experienced this in Logan. You can tell he's old because his voice is a little weaker. And sometimes it makes me feel a little sad listening to him speak because of that. But I mean, it's still an acting clinic anytime that man's on screen.
Well, his voice never seems to waver at all when he's doing voices for Seth MacFarlane, like Family Guy, American Dad, or I think more so American Dad. He's one of the CIA agent leads.
Yeah, yeah.
And he voices that character. I've never noticed anything. I wonder if maybe that's part of his acting.
Maybe it's multiple
takes. That's his acting ability there.
I didn't think he actually did the voice. I always assumed that was
actually him.
I thought it was MacFarlane doing the impression. Wow.
Yeah. I saw his name in the credits, I was like, holy crap. Wow. They got Sir Patrick Stewart to voice a character who killed a hooker in a cartoon series. What is happening right now?
Well, he credits the cast of TNG for, because he said when he took that role as Captain Picard, he was very serious.
TNG?
Yes, yes, in the Next Generation. Like he came from doing Shakespeare in the theater. And, you know, all the other American actors are goofing around in between takes. And he, like, pulled them aside and was like, there are people here trying to work. And you're keeping them here late. And we need to be serious. And I think it was Jonathan Frakes that was basically like, you need to just calm out. Calm down. You need to chill out.
We're doing a show about intergalactic relations here, Mr. Stewart.
And so really it was the cast from TNG that sort of relaxed him a little bit. And he started having more fun with the process of acting rather than just being a super amazing actor all the time. And so he never would have done American Dad before TNG.
No, not
absolutely not.
Yeah, that blew my mind when I found that out.
That's one of the things that I found really interesting about even this first episode is the amount of special effects money that they have now for a Star Trek.
Very cinematic.
Yes, the show.
The soundtrack especially. Yeah.
Right. And it's I wonder, I'm a part-time Star Trek fan. Like, I like Star Trek, but I don't know it the way you guys know it. Yeah. But I wonder if the show was stronger when it had less to work with. And I'm not saying that this was bad. I just wonder if when they had less to work with that they had to focus more on like making sure the story.
Because you have to lean more on storytelling.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think a very key point is that in every Star Trek, the first season is the weakest.
Yeah.
Like if you go to Enterprise, the first season's the weakest. If you go to DS9, first season's the weakest. So I think it takes a little bit of time to develop those characters and put them in place.
You've got to lay the groundwork. You've got to lay the tracks for everything that's going to come in the future to roll on. So that would make sense that it's a little... Yeah.
And not that I'm calling this weak, because I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Right.
But this was definitely a setup episode. Oh, there was no question. Everything about this was just setup.
You're right.
And there were cool little sleepers in there. Like, did you get the Maddox reference?
Yes. Yeah, they do mention Maddox, who is, I think it's season 2, Measure of a Man.
Right.
Where they take Data to trial and
look at this guy knows nerds, James.
He knows the title of the episode
friggin'
from
nerds.
Season 2. When did season 2 come out?
Season 2, that would have been 1988.
So he knows what?
88, 89.
Yeah.
Idiot Savant over there.
Idiot Savant.
He can't remember things 24 hours
later. He can't
hit
the record button on the memory card.
But he remembers this.
Back in 1988, season 2, episode 3, A Story of a Man in Space.
All right, this is the appropriate time to play this drop I've already played.
Stop shaming me!
There you go.
You're not wrong, James. You're 100% correct.
But the important detail of Measure of a Man was it was Data and Android fighting in a courtroom scene to be not property of, to be recognized as a living being and not property of Starfleet.
Fighting for his sentience.
Yeah.
Like and Pinocchio wanted to become a real boy.
Yeah.
That's obviously.
That is. I enjoyed it, though.
You totally just urinated on my.
That's what we do here.
That's what we have James for.
Yep.
That's my name tag right here. Urinator.
I'll have to have my Starfleet uniform cleaned and pressed after that one. Pinocchio.
He puts the nader in urinator.
Oh, you burned that for next week. You
could
have saved
that. Yeah, I could have.
You could have sat on that urinator.
I would have forgotten
it. I'm glad I used it now because I would have forgotten last week.
I would have forgotten it.
Like, urinator?
Yeah.
What?
But that's something too, is that you can see that moving forward, this this particular series, at least this particular season, is very much going to be about the rights of AI and the androids and stuff like that. But there is a lot of action in this too.
There is. We didn't finish that thought. Bruce Maddox, by the way, the reason we brought up that whole season two episode.
Yeah. He was Measure of Man. Continue.
1980, what was it?
88.
Now he's just like nerd flexing.
Measure of a Man. He was essentially the lawyer on the other side trying to make Data his property. He wanted to then reverse engineer Data so he could build other androids.
Yeah.
So it turns out now 20 years in the future that this guy is the one who actually created these new androids that have come to Picard for help.
Ah. Yeah.
So if you didn't know any of that,
right,
you know, but it if was you just did, the, you were like, oh my God, they worked Maddox in. That's so cool.
Just mentioned his name. Yeah, exactly. And but for the record, the only reason I know for a fact it was season two, I know that just Pulaski. Pulaski was a part of that episode.
Right. Yeah, she was.
And she was the doctor only in season two.
You know what's funny is that the way the cameras are set up, I just looked at the stream, you guys are looking at each other, but the way the cameras are set up, you guys are looking in opposite directions.
That's true.
I thought you were going to say we were looking lovingly at you. Yeah.
No.
The screen. Yeah. Like
I just happened to look over while you guys are looking at each other, and Al's looking off camera.
So, Steve.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. Is this work?
That's perfect.
There you go. All right.
Yeah. Look at each other, damn it.
You're looking great today, Steve.
Thank you.
But that was the other thing I wanted to bring up, is there is a lot more action in this than you would have seen in an older Star Trek show, and I'm sure part of that is knowing the audience, but also trying to make sure that you bring in an audience that may not be, you know, predisposed to watch a Star Trek show. Like the android in this particular thing does these fantastical, like, special moves taken out all these assassins that are trying to take down her, it's Picard and stuff. Yeah, there's some massive combat. And you can see in the previews leading into it, Picard is running, in this episode, he's running like a winery.
Yes.
What is that called?
Chateau
a vineyard.
Picard. Yeah,
He's running a vineyard, and he's got two Vulcans that live with him that are...
Romulans.
Are they Romulans? I thought they were Vulcans. But anyways, they're going to be... part of
you
his crew
on your Star Trek game. You're talking Star Trek with these guys.
They're going to be part of the crew.
Romulans and Vulcans share common lineage.
Ancestry. DNA. Okay.
We are never doing this again. My God.
Oh wait, here we go.
There, perfect.
Wonder nerd powers activated.
Right. But you can tell that these two younger people are going to be more of the Jonathan Frakes. They're going to be the ones that are doing. You can see one of them welding a sword in one of the previews and stuff like that. So when somebody's butt's got to be kicked, it's not going to be Patrick Stewart kicking somebody's butt.
He's calling the shots.
Speaking of the Romulans, something else that was pointed out to me in that same podcast is they canonized the death of Romulus, which happens in the 2009 movie.
Correct.
Remember, Romulus is destroyed, and that causes Nero to go back in time, and eventually that's how he encounters
the
Kelvin.
I think Nemesis is one of them, and there's another. The last two I didn't see.
Well, obviously the J.J. Abrams movies, it's the Kelvin timeline. It's a different timeline by going back in time. But the destruction of Romulus takes place before the timeline change. So they do address it in Picard, canonizing it, saying, yep, Romulus is gone. And there's like a big evacuation thing that Picard is involved in. And another thing that I noticed about the show is we find out Picard has, since we last saw him in Nemesis, been promoted to Admiral. However,
And retired.
Yep. However, the people close to him still refer to him as Captain, which I thought was interesting. But he does a television interview, and they refer to him as Admiral. But again, it's almost like he's ashamed of his admiralcy, like he's, you know, or something.
He's ashamed of Starfleet.
He's ashamed of Starfleet, that's
true.
They
asked him why he left Starfleet, and his answer was because it wasn't Starfleet anymore.
Yeah. So, and we're going to get much more into that. There was a Mars.
It became Space Force.
It became Space Force with the same exact logo. Yes,
saved money. Just had to change the font.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But
and there's going to be plenty of people from previous Star Trek shows. You can see that both Jonathan Frakes' character.
Yeah. Riker.
Riker and Deanna Troi are going to be in a later episode. And Seven of Nine.
Yes,
friggin'
absolutely.
Voyager.
Hugh.
And Hugh from iBorg.
Right.
Season 5. That one I also just recently watched.
But it's... It's going to feel weird when there's episodes that don't have somebody from an older Star Trek show in it.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see a lot of that, though.
I'm sure you will.
I understand. Well, first of all, it's already been renewed for season two, which is good. But I understand the Doctor from DS9 is appearing in some form or another.
Bashir?
Oh, did I say DS9? I'm sorry. I meant Voyager.
Oh, okay.
Just the Doctor.
Oh, the Doctor. Yeah. Robert Picardo.
Yes.
Yeah. The emergency hologram.
Dude, Al is just nerd flexing like a mofo this episode.
MASH and Star Trek and guitar is what I do when I leave here.
It's like Al's gun show right now.
It is.
Chris Berg is in the chat, and he said the name of this episode should be Al's Audible Boner.
Dude. Boing!
Because he's having a nerdgasm over Star Trek.
Keith just says the title of a Star Trek series, and Al's like, oh, blah, 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 blah. The guy, the doctor, him, yes.
Oh. I'll name the series. You tell me the year. Fistful of Data's, go.
I don't actually know.
I got stumped on the first one.
I'm redeeming myself from that Trivial Pursuit that we did.
Oh, yes, please. That's a bad recall right there.
Yeah, it is.
I did want to point out, because I just think it's kind of interesting, one of the things that made Star Trek what it was throughout almost all of the series was it was about a ship, it was about exploration, it was about going to deep space, it was boldly going where no one had gone
except
before.
For Deep Space Nine, which was a parking lot.
It was a hotel.
It was a hotel. Yeah.
This one does not appear to be that at all.
Yeah.
It looks like they will go into space.
Oh, there'll be some space, but it'll just be traveling. It'll be getting from point A to point B. They're clearly going to be looking for something, searching for someone, something. And I expect, again, based on just the previews and things that we've seen, that most of the combat's going to be hand-to-hand combat. You're not going to see a lot of ship battles.
Right.
Picard, at this point, doesn't even have a ship.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I'm sure that will come, you know, with subsequent episodes.
So I think you're going to see more spy type stuff, more ninja type stuff, more hand to hand stuff.
I want to see Picard go hand to hand, man.
It has to happen eventually, right? Yeah. And it's going to feel real weird to see Patrick Stewart beat somebody up.
He'll be a surprise, like there'll be a fight or whatever, and he'll just pull out a gun and.
Like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be some alien. And then Picard be like, you know what? Smoke you.
Speaking of that, shut up.
On the topic of that analogy, I don't know if this is a legit story or not, but I had heard that Harrison Ford ad-libbed shooting that guy.
That scene?
Because he was sick, like with the flu or something, and wanted to go home. And they're like, well, Harry, we gotta film the scene first. Yeah. And so the guy does all his little ninja moves, and he was supposed to fight him. And Harrison Ford just ad-lib pulling out his gun, shooting the guy. And the guy reacted like an improv thing and just died. And they're like, all right, we're done. You can go home.
That's amazing. I hope that's true.
Yeah, that is the most Harrison Ford story I've ever heard.
I don't know for sure if that's true, but I had heard that story, and I love it.
Those are my favorite like movie-type stories when you find out that like this stuff wasn't in the script. The actor just rolled with it and improvised, and it worked. And
I feel like there are definitely certain actors that you get with that in mind. Yeah. Like, here's the script, but here's these points where I'm just going to let Robert Downey Jr. play because he's going to give me some gold.
Mm-hmm. Well, since the Hulk hand is here.
Oh, no.
And we are talking about improv. I find out.
Oh, my God. Put that down.
Oh, I forgot. We're this way. Don't threaten me.
I don't like it at all.
I was, I saw it in an interview where they had brought in a kid from like a Make-A-Wish type of thing for the filming of Ragnarok during the big fight scene between Thor and Hulk.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that it was the kid who came up with the line of, hey, I know him from
work. That's my guy from work.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't really know that.
That's awesome.
Said that, and they're like, oh, I'm so using that. Like,
that's awesome.
Kid,
dude.
I'm using that line.
For sure.
I know it's a Make-A-Wish thing. That's going to make that kid's whole life.
Well, there's
like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a very long life.
Yes, I hope it was an extended life. I hope it's still with us.
It's a much sweeter story than the one I'm about to share, but in Seinfeld, there's an episode where Jerry's dating a girl, and the whole thing is he never got her name. And the joke is she's like, well, you know, rhymes with the part of the female anatomy. So the whole episode, he's trying to think of what her name is. Like George comes up with Mulva or something like that. But at the end, Jerry realizes what it is and says it to her. But before they filmed that scene, the writers came out and was like, hey, just for fun, does anyone want to try and guess the name with the studio audience? And some woman in the audience said, Dolores. And they were like, that's way better than what we wrote. And they changed the script because of the audience member had a better than what they had written. Yeah.
Right.
I hope they got a writer's credit.
Yeah.
Got paid for that. I hope that every time that runs in syndication, I hope they get like 2 cents.
Just really angry.
And they just gave him one Kenny Rogers roast.
Chicken. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Like, thank you for your contribution.
Yep.
But yeah, I guess to put a pin in Picard, very happy with it.
Cool.
Can't wait for subsequent episodes. And to see some of the other guest stars from TNG.
Yeah.
I told Chuck after I watched it that I do want new story. I do want new characters. But after opening with the Enterprise D and seeing Data and Picard, and then it goes on to this next scene where somebody ends up dying, a new character dies. And I was like, I'm glad he's dead because I want new, but I'm not ready for it yet. I just got Data and Picard in 10 forward on the D.
Right.
And I'm not ready for this yet.
We got Data and Picard on the D.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Erica's coming in. We're going to talk about the WWE Royal Rumble, which was this past weekend. We'll give you
Are you going to tell your story, Steve? Can we tease?
It's up to you guys.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Stick around. So, Steve has a great wrestling-related story. Well,
I think we should tell him what happened, that it was he pissed off Vince McMahon. Stick around for that.
Yeah, somebody in this room is pissed off Vince McMahon, and it wasn't me.
Well, you may have.
I may have.
He just doesn't know who
I don't
you
know.
Are.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, God damn that fathead face. Yeah.
Him and his stupid fat face.
Now I can't use this for all my clips for WrestleMania for the rest, because he's got a big fat James head.
Yeah. Pull that Seth Rollins photo off Instagram. It's got that big fat head, fat face in the background.
We're coming back. Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Nerd Radio.
I won nothing. Well, I won absolutely nothing. There's no prize to win here. We're all losers. That's a good memory, huh?
I like that.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the hell we were talking about.
But I like that
a clip from the show is in the production.
Yeah, well.
At least that makes sense that my voice is in there.
He's calling everybody losers, though. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think I was even involved in that.
No, you were not.
That was a me and Al segment there. It's Chuck Bean with you for more Nerd Radio along with Al Beck and James. We're joined this week, of course, by Mr. Steve Black talking about some Star Trek. And now we're joined by Eric Manis.
Hey, y'all.
Which means it's time for some Squared Circle Round Table. We had the Royal Rumble this past week. And another thing that we'll get to is at the beginning of the month, we had Wrestle Kingdom. Which is the big New Japan.
We'll run through that quick because it has been a month, and I'm literally, I think, the only person in here that watches New Japan on the reg. Al, no offense, you don't even watch WWE. And
no,
Steve,
no.
You've openly expressed to me how silly you find wrestling. So that's fine. I mean, to each their own.
There
it's
isn't
fine.
A single spaceship in wrestling.
He does
not yet. Wait till somebody launches
there
as like an intergalactic
plenty of big
warrior
D's, though.
Character.
Plenty of big D's.
Oh, wait. There is a wrestling crossover, though. The Rock was in Deep Space Nine.
He was.
Ooh,
I remember the ads for that
one.
I don't
recall that.
And there is that, supernatural / like alien character on AEW, the woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Her name escapes me at the moment, but she does the thing where she boops people's nose.
Sure.
And like, it's, I don't know, it's a thing.
Far more important than any of that, though, Suburban Commando. All right,
oh,
I just want to put that
out.
At
least we forget.
Is that a person or a name of an episode?
It's a Hulk Hogan
movie.
Comedy classic.
Yeah.
You don't remember that one?
And the Undertaker plays an intergalactic bounty hunter or something.
Yeah. Yep.
I forgot what other wrestler was with the Undertaker.
I can't remember either, but yeah.
Those are two wrestlers.
Yep.
I just remember, you're a dead man.
That's why you guys don't talk, brother.
So this past weekend.
Suburban Commando.
So this past weekend was the Royal Rumble, the beginnings of the road to WrestleMania. It's essentially where WrestleMania season starts. And WrestleMania, I say even when you're not super into wrestling, WrestleMania is typically the one everyone should see.
Yeah, it's your Super Bowl. It's your World Series of wrestling.
Even on a bad year, like you can take the temperature of what WWE is like by watching that year's WrestleMania, which is kind of cool. And the Royal Rumble is a fun match, too, because it's a battle royal, but instead of having all the guys in the ring to start, it starts with two guys, and then every 90 seconds, another guy joins until they've gone through the 30 guys that are supposed to be in it. And you got to throw a guy over the top rope, and the last guy standing gets to go to WrestleMania and face the champion. This year, this is the third year that we got a women's and a men's Royal Rumble.
That sounds right, yes.
I believe. And on the men's side, we got Drew McIntyre winning the Royal Rumble, which it was a neat match, too, because the gimmick this year was that Brock Lesnar, who is the champ on Raw, decided instead of waiting to see who was going to win the Royal Rumble to face him or to possibly challenge him, he just entered the Royal Rumble as number one with the idea that he was going to take out the other 29 guys before they could even get to WrestleMania to take him on.
I'm amazed that he didn't do that.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
I'm glad it didn't happen.
Oh, I'm so glad, too, but I was like, he's going to win. Like, he's going to win.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to win, but I knew it was going to, there was going to be a long period of time where he was going to do exactly what he did, which was every person that came in got annihilated within about a minute, and then he would just wait for the next guy until they finally built up a couple dudes to take him out. I was impressed, A, that Brock Lesnar was in the ring as long as he was.
True.
Because he tends to get blown up real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And and
yes, we get it. You don't know what we're talking about, Steve. Cheese and rice.
I was waving at my friend.
Come on.
And
we're entertaining ourselves over here.
And B, I was entertained with some of the stuff, like the Shelton Benjamin stuff that he did was really fun.
Yeah.
And the fact that he sold for a lot of the guys like Keith Lee and stuff was really cool to see. I also read yesterday that there was the news was that there was a backstage altercation between him and Matt Riddle, because Matt Riddle is relentless on Twitter.
Oh yeah, with all the old
him and Goldberg.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar was like, you might as well stop tagging me because we're never going to work together.
Mm-hmm.
So initially when you hear that there was an altercation, you're like, oh no, what happened? But I was kind of impressed that that was the. That was the story.
The extent of it? Yeah.
Yeah, that it wasn't, you know, like they got physical with each other or they called each other names or something like that.
Well,
look, I get that you're having fun, but you are promising the crowd something that is never going to happen, so you might as well stop.
Well, he's been doing it with Jericho. He's been doing it with Goldberg,
mm-hmm.
You know, doing it with Brock. Just getting his name out there.
Right.
I mean, I'd like to see Matt Riddle go up against all those guys.
Right.
I like him. He's the bro dude, which is so weird because I'm so anti-bro dude, but I'm like, I love the bro dude in the ring. He comes in with flip-flops, kicks him off, you know? Him and the other guy, they had the tag team, the Bruisers or whatever,
the
Brosers.
The Broserweights.
I was like, oh, man.
On the women's side, I can't even remember. Oh, Charlotte won.
Yeah.
Which was disappointing because you had Shayna Baszler in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really...
That's who I thought was going to win.
I really thought we were going to get Shayna Baszler versus Becky Lynch because Shayna trained with Ronda Rousey and Becky took the belt a year ago off of Ronda Rousey.
Storyline. That would have been such a good little story to build up the match.
Right. Now, Charlotte, when you win, you get to face either the Raw or the SmackDown champion. So Charlotte could decide to take the belt off Bayley mm-hmm. over on SmackDown. But, man, I was really looking forward to a Shayna Baszler, Becky Lynch WrestleMania match.
Yeah, that's who I thought. I thought Shayna Baszler was going to end up winning it. This is the first time I filled out any kind of, like, gambling type of deal with wrestling.
Yeah.
So I filled out, like, a DraftKings thing.
Yeah.
And I did really well on the Women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Just by picking... I picked Alexa Bliss. She ended up coming out first. I picked Shayna Baszler. She came out last. You know, I had Charlotte in there, and there was a couple women that I picked that didn't do anything.
Right.
You know, Liv Morgan. I had like almost 2,000 points.
You had mentioned the DraftKings things to me, and I think that's very interesting that DraftKings has betting on a thing. WWE is very open about the fact that the outcome. Like, it's about the entertainment.
The outcome is predetermined, and you're betting on the fact that you're as smart as whoever's predetermined the outcome. But it's really strange to think that with a predetermined outcome, you can still bet on it because they could just check DraftKings and see what the odds are and change the outcome day of.
Totally. I'm sure they've done that in the past. So, I mean, and it's we've done leagues like this before like in the road to WrestleMania where we try to where we draft different teams. And you're basically because – the creative team reports to Vince, and Vince has final say. You are trying to guess the whim of one of the most insane millionaires, billionaires, I don't know how much his net worth is at this point, who has ever lived. So trying to get inside the head of that man is a frightening concept.
A gamble in and of itself.
Yes,
that's
well,
fair.
Well, that's a lead in.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Erica was in here for the tease. Steve once pissed off Vince McMahon. We're going to get that story later at the end of the segment.
Well,
yeah.
Here's the thing. You're not dead right now, so you're fine. Like, if he would have gone, like, if you really pissed him off, like, like, he would have gotten your ass by now, please.
Right.
Come on.
There were some other fun matches on Sunday as well. I thought The Fiend and Daniel Bryan was really good.
Yep.
I thought that was
nice to see him not in that red light, that overpowering red light.
I appreciated the match not being in the red light, but I have to say that the Fiend title looks really dumb in natural lighting.
Well, I think it looks dumb even in the dark light. So just took the mask you put on your face and you just glued it to your belt. Fiend.
Right.
So his matches are in some ominous light?
Yeah, well, you know how Kane used to come out and he'd do the thing and the red lights would come out? Like, his entire match in the last year, all his matches are completely in that red light.
See, I'm familiar with obviously changing lighting for an entrance, but to the point where your character is so powerful.
Right. Well, yeah, and I think that was
changes
the
lighting of the arena for the duration of the match.
Because he wears that Joker/Slipknot looking mask, so like it's supposed to be like a horror movie when the Fiend comes out, so they try to use the lighting to make it look and that's what I thought forever, is that maybe the lighting is like that because in natural lighting that mask doesn't look very good.
That mask looks amazing.
No, the mask looks great. The contacts he puts in looks great. That really helps sell the character.
Yep.
That lantern he brings, the Bray Wyatt's mouth open with the light coming out of his mouth is a cool little feature too. There's so much stuff about that character that's awesome, but to finally see him in the light, like, actually I thought the light made him look even more like creepy.
Yeah.
Because he's got that weird unitard. Him, yeah, the weird unitard he wears.
Right.
The striped pants. Like, it's so much creepy stuff that you actually don't see when he's just wrestling in the red light.
It might be neat if they just put the spotlight on the ring and then darken all the other lights.
Yeah, so, like, that would work too.
Because that would feel more like a horror movie. But who knows? That was a cool match. And I thought Asuka and Becky Lynch did a fine job as well as for the title match.
Yeah.
I thought that had some good stuff in it.
I wasn't paying much attention during that match. I don't know what was going on. But.
It was a hot mess for me. I don't mean to make this all about me briefly.
Please do.
But no, Sunday was a bit of a mess because...
Yeah, you had Grammys to cover?
Yeah,
that's true.
Me and my team had to cover the Grammys, which there wasn't a lot to cover for me. But then before we actually like watch the pre-tell stuff, like the stuff they give away before the telecast, and have to report on that. And then obviously... Kobe. So, like, since a majority of my team actually had music news to cover, so I'm watching Kobe updates. I have my eye on the Grammys, which is on, like, my TV, and then my husband's laptop is streaming the Royal Rumble. So I'm on screens and overload, and it was a long day.
I'm sure.
So I missed some stuff in the Rumble, but I was...
Then leave us! You have no place in this segment!
Ha! I'm like, pipe your ass down.
Al is so full of himself today, let me tell you.
I invited Steve. We want to continue talking Star Trek.
I believe at this point you hit him with a chair or something,
like,
right?
Yeah, isn't that how that works?
That's how that works.
My big ring is closest to him. I'm like, Al's going to get wrecked today.
He is. He's
one
asking for it.
He's gone.
He's absolutely asking for it.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Also, I think the MVP of Sunday night has to be Beth Phoenix.
Oh yeah!
Because she cracked the back of her head on something and continued to be in the match for another 20 minutes.
Forever.
By the time she was out of the match, the entire back of her head, her blonde hair was red.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. from bleeding.
Yeah, it looked like a plate of spaghetti.
Right.
Glued to the back of
and
head.
It was really cool. The big return was Edge in the men's Royal Rumble, and that
which
was kind of cool
because everybody's like, "Oh my God, Edge is back! Edge is back!" And I'm like. When I watched wrestling, I was really into it. He was just another one of Gangrel's vampires. What's the big deal? Cool vampire guy's back?
No, he had a real cool run, but at the same time...
He hurt himself, didn't he? Like, didn't he have to retire?
He had to retire early because of neck complications.
Three vertebrae together now?
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see some of these people that have had to hang it up because of physical limitations, like, after a couple of years. You know, famously, Daniel Bryan didn't get to wrestle for years because of concussions and had to go to a billion doctors to finally get cleared and say, like, look, I'm okay. I can get back in the ring.
Did you hear the details about Edge's contract, though, with the WWE? Did anyone hear about that?
No.
I don't know why I'm looking at you two.
Go ahead and fill us in. I think I know where you're going, but go ahead and fill us in.
I just heard 3 years.
First of all, the fact he went to AEW to see what type of deal he could get with them. probably just so he could then go to the WWE and say, okay, Vince, beat this.
Right.
So normally contracts in the WWE last for 5 years now. They are, like, he signed a 3-year deal, which makes sense because he'll be 49 once he's done.
And just going to be 49 in 3 years? Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was in better shape at the Royal Rumble than he had ever been when he was active before his next stuff.
He still moves in mysterious ways.
Wrong edge.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Anyway, so 3-year deal. 3-year deal. Five matches, like 3 minimum matches, a total of 25 appearances per year. It doesn't have to be a match every single time. It could be. Who knows what's going to happen? But $3 million a year.
$3 million a year.
Yeah. Whew. So, I mean, he has like a Brock deal.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I think Brock makes 8 figures, not 7s. But still, $3 million a year for 3 years.
Five matches, minimum of three?
Yeah. And here's the thing. Okay. I know you didn't really care much about
his future. Yeah, I know he's.
It's fine. Yeah. But I really hope this means that The Undertaker will sit his ass out. We do not need him. He is in horrible shape.
Right.
His last few matches have been god-awful. Once again, well, we can go back to, go away, dead man.
Yes.
I will allow you that other outburst for quoting Harry and the Hendersons again.
Yeah.
But
if Edge is going to be 49, Undertaker's going to be 112 at this point.
Right.
It seems like it. It's time to hang him up.
Yeah.
We already have a legacy guy in there who is going to deliver.
Yeah.
Who's not going to be lumbering the whole time. So just sit your ass down.
Well, the Edge, I mean, when you revealed what Edge's age would be, I mean, my God, that made me feel old, because the thing is, when I hear names that I recognize, I was super into wrestling. I was watching wrestling when Edge made his debut.
Right.
You know, like me and James are kind of joking about it. I remember the promo videos of him just sort of like dangling a foot off of the side of a building.
Yeah.
And just a guy in a trench coat. Just,
yeah. You
know, who's this mystery man who's putting his life on the line and
run and slide into the ring traffic. Under the bottom rope and all that stuff. So, like, when I hear names I recognize, I'm like, oh my God, how old are they now? You know?
Right.
Well, he's had 9 years of rest. So he's well.
And was it 9 years ago he retired?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was out of wrestling then.
Yeah, I mean, I was out of wrestling when he got his big push and became a big deal. Like,
when's wrestling going to the Villages? Yeah,
might already be there in some parts of it.
So, Erica, we talked a little bit about Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes.
Was at the beginning of this month. That's New Japan's essentially their WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the highlights that you can tell our people listening to us that possibly do not know much about New Japan? What were some of the things that were the big matches this year?
Okay, like, it's going to take... I will try to make this as super quick as humanly possible, because I could easily do a substantially tight 20 on this.
Yeah.
First of all, Wrestle Kingdom was split up into 2 nights, which I sincerely hope WrestleMania considers doing, because even... my husband and I, we woke up, it aired live from Tokyo. We got our asses up at 2 in the morning to watch this jazz, and I have no regrets. Even with waking up that early, splitting the card into 2 nights was just a far better watch than like an 8-9 hour show, which was WrestleMania last year.
Right.
It's too much.
Yep.
You're asking too much for that from that crowd. By the time the main event gets there, everyone's just tired. No one wants to cheer. I wanted to curse, but I'm trying to behave.
DMX is here for you.
We've got DMX to cover.
Either way, it's too long. It's too long to sit down and watch a thing live. I mean, big takeaways. You had the Jericho Tanahashi match, which if Tanahashi won, he would get an AEW title shot.
Right.
Tana lost. Jericho made him tap, which was very surprising. I had no idea. I thought it wouldn't be a clean finish. I thought it was going to be a little sketch. Truth be told, I thought Tana was going to win, because I feel like so many AEW fans and so many New Japan fans, especially American ones who are both like me, were like, okay, this is it.
This is it.
They're finally going to go into business with one another. This is fantastic. Everyone's excited. And then nothing happened. But then Jericho gave the presser after the match and said, like, look, get over whatever petty business BS you have between each other, or whatever happened, you know, just with the elite guys leaving New Japan and starting AEW with Tony Khan, get over it, because together we can all make a lot of money. So bury the hatchet. Let's work together. Just get over yourself. So hopefully that will come to fruition. Of course, now with the Marty Scurll stuff, which I don't know how deep we even want to get into that.
Yeah, because Marty Scurll, everyone expected he was going to join everybody over at All Elite Wrestling, and instead he signed a contract with NWA?
No, he re-signed with Ring of Honor.
Oh, okay.
He's now going to be one of the bookers there. He's doing stuff with NWA. He's got like a thing going on with Nick Aldis. He showed up at a New Japan show this week because New Japan's currently in the United States doing some tours.
Interesting.
And some shows. So there's a lot of crap happening over there.
The big takeaway I got from New Japan was the after Jon Moxley won his match, Minoru Suzuki came out and they essentially teased that that might be his next New Japan opponent.
Oh, it is. Like, that's going to happen at New Beginning on February 9th in Osaka.
Yeah.
So,
and that dude, like, Minoru Suzuki is legit scary. He's the one guy out of New Japan I know, because he's just this scary Japanese guy that hits people really hard.
Minoru Suzuki, too, is over 50. I think he might be 51, 52, but, like, he can still go. I think that's the most impressive thing, just seeing, and he's still legitimately frightening. Like, I do follow him on Instagram, and you see him, like, oh, hanging out with, like, random people at a coffee shop. Or,
right.
Like, he's a big guy who's into, like, his sock game. So it's like, here's Minoru Suzuki's socks. Where I'm like, you're still the scariest man I have ever seen.
But nice socks.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are they Argyle by chance?
He looks
like
he could be like a thug in the Yakuza.
Yes.
Like he's like a mafioso type of guy. Like he's very, oh yeah, everything is good, but he could turn on a dime and murder you. So that's the appeal of his character.
Leading into the Minoru Suzuki thing, you had Moxley, who faced off against Lance Archer in a Texas death match. It was a great match. I thought it didn't border into uncomfortable violence. It was just violent enough to where, like, this is sort of disturbing, but I'm not scared.
Right.
You know, not unlike his match with Kenny Omega, where there was that barbed wire net that they used that was just really uncomfortable. That's not my jazz. And then you had your main events. You had back-to-back nights with those two matches with Jay White, Kota Ibushi, Tetsuya Naito, and oh my god, Kazuchika Okada. So there was basically kind of like a round.
Sounds like she's making names up. Then Akira Takasaki came in and he did some stuff with Minoru Niohara.
Well, the thing is, these four guys.
You watch New Japan also? Wow.
Calm down there, Cheech. Cheech Marin over here.
Sorry.
Long story short, these four guys faced off in their various main events, and the whole point was to eventually, in the main event, have title versus title. The Intercontinental Champion would be going up against the Heavyweight Champion. There's never been a double champion in New Japan history, and it effing happened. So the end result, you had Okada going up against Naito. Okada was the Heavyweight Champion. Naito was the Intercontinental Champion. Both guys are beloved in Japan. They are beloved in New Japan. And it's the crowd, like, was very polite, as is the Japanese way. Like, everyone still remains seated. Like, if this crap happened in America, people would be throwing chairs.
Standing room only.
Just, it'd be insane. But Naito ended up winning, which was kind of shocking because Okada's been their boy for so long. And, you know, he had both belts. He's given his promo at the end of the night. And then Kenta came in and ruined it.
Yeah.
And to give you context, because none of you have any idea what I'm talking about. In New Japan, in traditionally with their shows, they like to leave, like, on a high note. They like to leave a show. Doesn't matter if it's a big pay-per-view or a house show. They like to leave on a high note. So when a villain comes in and clocks their new double champion and, like a hush comes across the crowd, like, that doesn't happen in New Japan. So the fact that they booked it that way is very intriguing for the future. And I am very excited for the year to come.
Interesting. All right. Well, yes. Steve, get in here on this camera here so we don't have the chat over your face here. I want to hear this story about the time you pissed off Vince McMahon.
As do I.
I want you to share this with everybody.
It's going to be a 3-second story. We've made people wait all this time.
It really isn't that great. I'm just telling you right now.
Now I'll have the chat on my face.
Yes. Al can help me with the year on this. WrestleMania where they're all in the ring and they try to throw each other out?
That would be the Royal Rumble. Yep.
Yeah. I thought, is that what that's
called?
That's
the Royal Rumble. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So this was at the Pontiac Silverdome, and it was one of the first or second to ever happen.
Okay.
WrestleMania 2?
Yeah, I was going to say WrestleMania 3.
3 was the one at the Silverdome.
Because that had Andre and Hogan in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So I was at
86, something like that?
87.
87?
Yeah.
Radio station at the time called Z-Rock.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the young crazy people, and they wanted, hey, can we bring Vince McMahon in? And I was like, yeah, sure. Who? Like, I didn't really even know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came in, I did the professional, you know, radio thing, and he was kind of like, I can tell you're not really into this. And I'm like, well, I like real sports.
No, Steve! No!
Yeah, so I was like, you know, I'm not against violence. I watch hockey and, you know, and
you know
football where
game.
There's real contact and, you know.
Real athletic ability, but they do have that in the wrestling. It's just all predetermined.
Yes, but back then they used to pretend like it wasn't predetermined.
Oh, yeah.
Back then it was, dude, don't say bad things about wrestling.
Right.
It's the real me, damn it.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he was probably putting on a show because that's what he does, but he raised his voice a little bit and like, oh, so you think it's fake. You are officially invited to be in the ring at the Silverdome. We want you to come wrestle with Andre the Giant. I'm going, no.
So, Erica, he did try to have him killed.
Okay. Yeah. Honestly,
Because Andre may have.
Because he would have told Andre, he's like, hey, this is a radio guy in Detroit that doesn't think wrestling's real. And Andre would have bent you in half, man.
He would have hurt
exactly
you.
What I was thinking. Because part of me was like, ooh, a story to tell my grandkids. Yeah. I was in the ring with Hulk Hogan.
You got to survive long enough to have the grandkids. Like,
you know he's going to tell somebody, hey, this is the guy who doesn't believe the pain is real.
Yeah. He'll make sure they actually really smack you around.
Right, too. Funny thing is, I did watch that Andre the Giant documentary with the one on HBO, and he wouldn't have broken a bone, but I think he would have hurt you a little bit.
I think he could hurt you by looking at you, for God's sake.
Yeah, he would have done something.
He clap your hands and blow you out of the ring.
Yeah.
Dude was huge.
Yeah. That's
really
funny.
That was kind of the only story.
I enjoyed it.
I think it's great.
I thought it was worth it.
You know, he wasn't like a real jerk afterwards or anything. You know, we kind of shook hands.
It's all show.
So it does. Yeah, it does sound like he just sort of went into character.
That's the funny thing, especially with a lot of wrestlers, but especially with Vince McMahon, is that he can like turn the character on and off so quickly.
And
like
he probably wasn't super insane billionaire at that point either.
He was just a mildly enraged millionaire.
Right. I was just like, by WrestleMania 3, he knew he was on to something.
Yes.
I think he was genuinely taken aback, though, when I said I like real sports. Yeah. Like, when threw that in, he's like,
I'm going to give this kid hell.
Yeah exactly.
At the time, he's also like, no one knows that yet. At that time, too, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was like a commentator at that. Yes, he was the owner.
Yeah.
But it wasn't common knowledge that he was the owner. He was known as the color commentator.
Yep. Because
I think, if I remember, and God, this was a long time ago, 30 years-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yes, I'm that old. Oh, my gosh.
I appreciate that you were on the radio back then when I was still a child, so I'm not the old person. Specifically, I'm the old person.
Oh, trust me, I'm the old person in this room.
Yeah.
But
Steve,
I do remember
his tongue when I was like, 49, oh, my God.
49, Jesus Christ, kill yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You might as well just be dead.
Well, you referred to somebody as 51, and I was like, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't let the world know you're 51.
Maybe that should be the title of this episode. How old is Steve Black?
Or don't let the world know
don't
that
let
you're
the world know you're 51. I like that. Thank you, Steve. I'll tell you what, it's a real different show sitting over here.
Am I supposed to be pushing buttons over here, by the way?
Yeah.
There's no responsibility over there. Why do you think I didn't want to give that seat up?
I see now.
I move over here and I've got drops and I'm doing social media.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Want me to fade back around that way? Do your closing stuff?
We're tagging in and out.
I'm glad you didn't die, Steve.
Yeah
me too.
That's yikes.
All right, we're coming back with a little bit more Nerd Radio. Jesus, we've been talking for 25 minutes.
All right.
Erica!
Make sure you follow us on social media. At,
Damn it! I'm like, Nerd Radio.
Son of a bitch, you shut up.
Make sure you follow us on social media. Nerd Radio 101. We'll be right back.
It's only like 5 minutes each. If you divide it up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What?
This is Nerd Radio.
What?
Wow.
What? Chuck?
What?
Dude, I like that Mario Brothers and the Snails Man show.
Isn't it great?
That was interesting.
I found that forever ago, and I remember when I was first putting the show together, and I was like, oh, I got to use that. That's amazing. It's closer in Super Mario Brothers. Somebody timed it out, so it works perfectly. Good stuff. It's Chuck Bean back with a little bit more Nerd Radio.
If you keep using my voice on the intros, I'm going to make you DMX over it.
Whatever. You keep interrupting me when I'm trying to do all the important stuff.
Oh, it's thing, none of it's
he
important.
He doesn't have the DMX over it. All he has to do is just put the new one in, cut out the old one.
Yeah, damn
it. You can say whatever you want.
Right.
Son of a bitch.
He's got creative control over here.
Find us on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and every place else at Nerd Radio 101. We are, as a podcast, you can find us on WRAF.com. We're also in Boston.
At rock929rocks.com.
I love the part of your thing is to remind me it's Boston and not Chicago.
Well,
and of course,
Tallahassee.
We're on Twitch. We're on the Twitch stream for Checkpoint XP every Wednesday morning. Tell them, James.
Yep. Twitch.tv/Checkpoint XP.
James, Al Beck, and Steve Black joining me for this week's Nerd Radio. We had a fun show.
Yeah.
It's been all right. I'll tell you what, I wasn't feeling it when I woke up. I woke up super early this morning. I got here super early this morning because I woke up
super early.
I saw
you early, yeah.
I'm guessing there were people here already.
People on the Twitch stream can...
You got up early this morning.
Yeah, no, people on the Twitch stream can see that, like, I got the bags going on. I didn't sleep well. But we had a good
show,
man.
You do kind of look like a talking corpse when I'm looking at the screen now.
Oh, my God!
A little bit. I can
oh, no!
I could use a nap. You know what? My chest was a little tight coming up them stairs. If this is if you guys don't ever see another Nerd Radio, you know what happened.
He's got the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Actually, I got the Miller High Life virus. That's what's going on there. but I told
That's
you guys
not as bad as the Natty Light virus.
No, not at all. I told you guys last
that
week
is
I've been
death.
Death by diarrhea.
God, come on.
In damn it.
Chuck has had enough of me today.
You're not even streaming in German this time.
I know.
German interrupter.
I told you guys last week that I've been watching The Witcher, and I got a couple episodes left in it. But IO9, the website IO9, conducted an interview with the guy who wrote the original books that the show is based off of. Those books came out in like 95 or
the
something
Witcher?
Like that. Yeah.
I thought it was all based off that video game.
Well, the video game's based
off
the books.
Oh, okay.
We wouldn't have got a Netflix show if the video games wouldn't have been a big deal. But this guy... it's very cut and dry about how he feels about it, like how he felt about the adaptation of the Witcher books. And he says that he didn't want to interfere in somebody else's interpretation of his books. So not only did he not like play the games or watch the show, but like he also didn't want to see the script.
Cash the check.
Yeah, he didn't want to see the scripts or anything. It's like, you want to take my thing and make a show out of it? Have fun.
Yeah, show
Go
me
ahead.
Money, take the cash. Cool. I respect that.
Polar opposite of Alan Moore.
Yeah. Absolutely. But then at the same time, people ask in the interview, they ask him, what do you think transitions best and what do you think transitions worse? And the answer to both questions was like, my name's in the credits. I'd be an idiot to tell you what was good and what was bad.
I love it. I love this guy.
Yeah, it's a fantastic thing. They ask him about the video games. He's like, I don't play video games, so I don't know.
This guy's awesome.
I saw somebody in the comments on it say this guy gives no fucks.
Yeah. Dude, this guy was Diogenes in a prior
life. Kind of is.
I think he is.
It was really kind of, even at the end, it was like, any additional comments? None whatsoever. Thank you. All right, cool.
Can we get him for the podcast?
I would love to, but at the same time, I think it's going to be a very cut and dry
feeling,
yes or no
yeah,
kind of interview.
He's very busy and doesn't have time.
Yeah, that was another thing. That was another thing he'd said is that the reason why he didn't want to get too involved in the show or something like that is because he doesn't like working. So the less work he had to do, the better.
He's just sitting at home counting his royalties.
Exactly.
Delightful.
But if you have watched The Witcher and you want to go back and you want to experience stuff, the latest version, Witcher 3 Wild Hunt on Xbox One, is currently on sale on Amazon for about $20.
Nice.
So you can grab that. I went on Steam just to see what the Witcher games were going for, and had forgotten that I'd actually bought the first one and never played it.
Oof.
Because that's how Steam works.
Add that to your backlog.
Yeah. It's computer games, man. You buy them, and then they're showed up in your Steam log, and then you forget about them because you're trying to beat the one that's in front of you. So whatever. But speaking of games, over the weekend, James bought some games.
I did.
I saw that you posted about
downloaded the Bridge. They had Star Trek Bridge Crew. So we could try to get that Nerd Radio stream.
Get a stream going.
Yeah. General Al, Commanding the B, whatever he's doing.
General?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a Star Trek guy. So Admiral. General
Al.
Captain.
Admiral Beck.
Janitor, whatever. I don't get some in charge. But I got that. I downloaded the Ghostbusters the remake, and then
I saw you got Untitled Goose Game.
Untitled Goose Game, which is so much fun. I don't know why it's so fun, dude.
I was curious because it looked like I've seen people play it, and it's hilarious to watch people play. But I was curious if you would have a good time playing it more like a puzzle game.
Yeah, it's absolutely a puzzle game, but it's disguised as you're a goose just causing havoc.
Yeah, you're just an
you're
asshole
in a little
goose.
Town, and like, so you have a little list of things to do. One's like, get the gardener wet, get access to the gardener, steal the gardener's keys, have a picnic. And then it says, like, collect all these items. So you got to find ways to interact with these people in there just as a goose, either flapping your wings or just grabbing stuff and picking it up and walking it around.
God damn it.
Hiding it.
Geese are a-holes, too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like so perfect.
Yeah.
It's wild. How much did that run you? Because I
think it was $20.
Yeah, I think it's $20.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I'm at a point now where it's kind of mean. But you have to make a kid buy his toy back from a store.
Yep, I've seen that.
So you like steal this kid's
toy,
and then you run over to this store area, and you drop it down on the floor. And when the kid runs to grab his toy up, the store owner's like, no, that's my plane. And then he makes him pay for the toy airplane.
Yep.
Like, I was like, this is so mean. But I love it. It's actually a lot of fun, and it's a challenging puzzle game.
Yeah.
Can you fly? Like,
No, so far,
doesn't fly?
No. Yeah. You flap your wings, and you honk, and then you
chase
interact.
People.
Right. Yeah, you chase people around, but usually they chase you. And it's interesting because like, the soundtrack is interactive to what you have going on, but it seems like it's all supposed to be that way. So like when you interact with the human and the human's like chasing you away,
the music kind of spikes up.
It seems seamless. Like the piano strokes that they put in there, it seems like the soundtrack knew what I was about to do. It's weird.
That's weird.
Cool. But it's super fun. More fun than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, it's more fun. I downloaded, I'm in some closed beta of this game called Disintegration.
Yeah.
And I put that away and played the Untitled Goose Game. I'm like, I'm in on Untitled Goose Game. Forget this.
I may have to buy this. So. You're selling me.
But, dude, it's a lot of fun.
You know, it would be really fun to watch your nephew play it.
Oh, I bet he'd
get
a kick
God.
Out of
I'm sold 100% now.
Because it's puzzles that kids could also figure out, but it's also challenging enough for an adult.
Right.
Because, like, right now, I don't know. There's a few things I have to do. And the part that I'm at, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get this broom broken. How do I get a broom to break? You know, and the broom is what the shopkeeper chases you around with.
Okay.
You know, so I'm like, how am I going to get that broom out of their hands?
Well, it would definitely be a lot of fun to watch Jimmy play that. He's been playing that stupid game, I Am Bread, and you just slice of bread and you just roll around the kitchen and get filthy.
Okay, hold on, I'm going to write that one down because that sounds like a lot of fun too. I Am Bread.
I am bread.
Did you tweet out, was it last weekend you had your nephew over and you guys were playing Rocket League?
Oh, a couple weeks ago,
and he destroyed you.
Absolutely. And so one game, it was like that one time I played Call of Duty and went like 30-0 for my kills and whatever. So once in a while I get lucky, and I am whooping his ass in Rocket League, and he got up and he reset the frickin'.
He pulled the old Nintendo trick.
He did. He shut it down.
He's like, Al, you might be beating me in Rocket League, but no one will ever know.
I'll be playing Smash Brothers against Amy, and she'll accidentally hit the home key on her controller.
What does that do?
It takes you back to like the menu, like the
so it completely gets you out of the game.
Yeah, well, like you can hit it to go back to the game. It pauses the game and puts you in the menu.
Throw you off your rhythm.
But yeah, I'm like I'm whooping ass, and she'll put it in there. I'm like, hey,
just end your combo, huh?
Yeah.
Have you played the Cuphead skins on that yet?
I have not unlocked them yet. Okay. No, I haven't tried them out. I haven't even gotten the Sans the Undertale skin on that yet. I really want to get that.
Gotcha. I don't know who that is.
Man. It's the little skeleton dude.
Okay. I just saw Cuphead characters were skins available. I was like, ooh.
I have a PlayStation 2.
What are you playing on it?
Last game I played was the college football, the NCAA football, back when you were allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And then they went away. I understand they're bringing that back, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they finally reached an agreement with players being able to make money off of their.
Oh, that's cool. Because I know before they would just get numbers, right? You'd get the name of the schools and then just the numbers, but they wouldn't give the names or put the names on the jerseys.
Well, on the version of the game I was playing, it was actual players.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Like Reggie Bush is on the cover back when he was in college.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I don't play video games.
Yeah, I was going to say, the title is definitely going to be How Old is Steve Black?
Well, over the weekend, there was a sale on Steam on a game that I actually got to see played right here on the Checkpoint XP Twitch on Friday. Robbie and Chad got to play with a couple of the developers of Dead by Daylight, and I've been playing it a little bit. I watched Chad stream it a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it was really cool. It's kind of like the Friday the 13th game.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm familiar with Dead by Daylight.
Yeah.
You got to go fix the little...
Yep.
Generators.
Somebody plays as the killer of some sort, and they've licensed all the guy from Halloween and Freddy from Nightmare on Elm Street and all these guys.
Yeah.
But I got to watch them Friday, which I believe the video is still up on Checkpoint XP's Twitch, so you can go back in the archives and check it out. It was very fun to watch them play it, and it was on sale this week, and I finally just caved and bought it on my PC because the PlayStation version I have was the one I got with the PlayStation Network.
Okay.
That I downloaded. So that was my gaming expense for the week.
Oh, there you go.
And that was so I'm having fun with that. You'll probably get to see me stream that on my own personal Twitch.
Which scary guy is your favorite to hide from?
Oh man,
I don't know what they call him in the game. I call him
Scary
Guy.
I like playing. There's a guy called the Trapper, and his particular abilities. He sets bear traps down people will run over, and the thing that cracks me up is you can run over your own bear trap, so he'll step in it and go open it up. I did it four or five times the first time I played him. Amy's like, are you stepping in your own bear trap? This is so funny, it never gets old. I love it. But speaking of video games, there was a couple of stories that I wanted to throw by you guys before we take off this week. One of them being that at the Grammys this week, somebody on stage had a Nintendo Switch.
Really?
Yeah, so when Tyler, the Creator, came up for Best Rap Album, one of the guys that was with him had his Nintendo
entourage.
Yeah, his collaborator, Jasper Dolphin, had a Nintendo Switch with him. And somebody asked him afterwards, why'd you bring a Nintendo Switch to the Grammys? Which, first of all, it's a long-ass show, so I completely understand.
Yeah, well,
it had a boring-ass show.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, I didn't watch it.
I'm surprised
Tyler,
the Creator, showed up, to be honest.
Yeah, he said he was playing Pokemon.
I bet. Yeah.
He was
nice.
Playing Pokemon at the Grammys, so that's pretty cool. And the other story that I feel like I need to tell you guys about is, you may have seen this already too, an armed robber stole $130,000 worth of merchandise from GameStop.
Ooh.
And he was caught.
That's a lot of used video games.
It is.
Right. Well, that's the first thing I thought was how did you find $130,000 worth of stuff at GameStop? But, then I was like, oh, wait, there's systems. He actually robbed 4 GameStops.
Ooh.
Oh.
So that would be why. But, he's in prison doing, I believe, he's sentenced to 10 years in prison for robbing 4 different GameStop stores at gunpoint.
Well, that's what you get, man. Crime doesn't pay.
Have a lot of games to play while he's in prison.
Yeah, you're right.
That's the thing, too, is in the story it says that he robbed 4 Yikes. GameStops, and forced the people working there to put a bunch of systems and games. If you're robbing 4 GameStops of 30 Xbox Ones, what in the hell are you thinking you're going to do with those?
Yeah. Well, he's in the prison now with his games, and all he's got access to is this goddamn 3DO. Take that, son of a bitch.
Well, if he'd have robbed a Funko Land, that's probably what he'd be stuck with.
Yeah.
Is it a regular 3DO or a C3DO?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. well, you were right. It was Funko Land, and they're out of business now. So.
Right.
Well, I think they just changed the name to GameStop. I believe is what happened.
Well. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's Nerd
Radio. Serves him right, then, for pushing that 3DO on me.
Steve, thanks for being a part of the show this week.
I'm glad somebody wanted me to be part of any show, really.
Well,
your office is right over there, so wander on in sometime.
Right, for sure. Join us, as I encourage you guys always, every Wednesday afternoon on Twitch at Checkpoint XP /
Nope.
It's twitch.tv.
Let James handle it.
Twitch.tv/ Checkpoint XP.
There you
James
go.
Absolutely knows what's going on. I don't know. I'm having a...
Find a thick colon, semicolon, X49er.
Yes.
Talking on a walkie-talkie.
I'm over here having an aneurysm.
That's right.
So.
Podcast at WRF.com and Rock929Rocks.com and at NerdRadio101 on all the social media, including YouTube. So go check out some clips there.
Spotify. That's it. We're done. See ya. Here's the thing.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
I have spoken.
Shouldn't wrestling be on the same night as the Oscars?
I still have to cover that crap.
No, I'm just saying because it's acting.
I'd be fine with
that. Wow.
It's fine.
We're going to get Joe Coleman back in here, and he's going to be like, where's Steve Black?
Yeah. Hey, Dwayne's the highest paid actor in Hollywood right now, so.
Oh, I didn't realize you were on the first name basis with Dwayne.
He wants to be called that right now, fucker. Okay.
She's very sensitive to The Rock's feelings.
Look, I have to be accurate. I can't just go up and be like, hey, The Rock, what's going on? It's like, no, he asked to be called Dwayne. I'm not a total bitch. I'll call him Dwayne.
I just not refer to him as calling him Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson.
Please don't kill
Johnson.
Me. Yeah.
Mr. Johnson was my father. You can call me Dick.
Yeah. All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.